Today on Real Radio.
And for this reason we'll study, God will send them strong delusion so that they should believe the lie. None of this is going to be popular, I admit, but you're going to come away, I think, smarter, I think, in your Bible, and more prepared.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his verse-by-verse look at the New Testament letter known as 1 John. In the opening paragraph of chapter 4, John issues a stern warning to believers, do not be deceived. In fact, the first 6 verses are so strong, our teacher, Pastor Jack, will be spending a lot of time in this passage. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a series taken from this section of 1 John chapter 4. It's called Living in the Days of Deception.
1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, and they say, Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world, and by this we know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and even now is already in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world, and therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God, and he who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us, and by this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. The title of the message that we'll be going through in these next 7 weeks or so is Living in the Days of Deception. And I'd like you to spell the title out this way, Living in the D-A-Z-E of Deception. That's, in fact, the days and the age in which we live. By way of introduction, in light of what we saw last week, number one, we're going to be looking at 8 particular studies, tonight number one. But first of all, we're going to be looking at what we're entitling Lying Spirits and Doctrines of Demons. And we've put this in quotes, but I saw it with my own eyes. I mean, come on, if I saw it with my own eyes, it must be true. Tonight we're going to be covering Lying Spirits and Doctrines of Demons. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 says, Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. You believe that tonight, or you don't. I just challenge you to look to the scripture and see for yourself. In the weeks to follow, part 2, the deception of the charismatic. Wasn't he a great speaker? You often hear that. Oh, didn't he just make you move on the inside? I mean, boy, didn't he just titillate our attention and grab our very person? We were riveted by him or by her. And you hear little about God. In 1 John 4, verse 2, we'll see that by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come into the flesh is of God. We're going to know exactly what that means. A lot of people confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, but they're not of God. Well, what does this verse mean? We're going to study it carefully. The deception of the charismatic. The third week, we'll study the deception of easy believism. Oh, just come forward and, quote, give your heart to Jesus. Now, that sounds great, and we've heard that a million times. But the Bible teaches us that without the preaching of repentance, there is no salvation at the cross. And every spirit, 1 John 4, 3 says, that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. We're going to talk about what his coming in the flesh was all about. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard it was coming and is now already in the world. The fourth part of our study, the deception of the cry for unity. Boy, are we hearing that these days. We've got to be careful that we are not deceived. It is part of the ecumenical movement today that we all become one church, one globally minded people. And if that means that your mosque joins our church, which has joined the synagogue, which has joined the cult, then that's okay, because we are gathering under the spirit of unity. And certainly and surely God wants us to be unified. Never, never. When you put truth upon the altar of sacrifice, unity is great. Oh, how blessed is it is for the who? Brethren to dwell together in unity. And yet you and I are hearing from political players and religious leaders that we just need to get together. We're really one big family anyway. The fifth study that we'll see is that there'll be a deception of the signs and wonders movement. But it must be from God. People are saying, I felt it. 1 John chapter 4, verse 5 is going to teach us that they are of the world. Therefore, they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. The deception of the signs and wonders. We'll be showing video, and we will be playing excerpts out of sermons that have been captured on cassette of the signs and wonders people and the movement and what they teach. You need to know. You need to know. And I know I run the risk. Somebody asked me last week, have you counted the cost of delivering this series? What is the cost? It is truth or it is false? Yes, this would go against Satan's desires, of course. But we're not here for Satan's desires. We're here to expose him. Part six of our study will be the deception of tolerance. Just as long as people are sincere. Well, Adolf Hitler was sincere. Rajneesh was sincere. Sai Baba is sincere. Gandhi was sincere. You're sincere. I'm sincere. What does that prove? We can be sincerely based in a lie and even die for it. In 1 John 4, 6, the scripture says, we are of God, and he who knows God hears us. And he who is not of God does not hear us. The deception of tolerance. We'll cover that in depth as the weeks unfold. And part 7 will be the deception of the rise of Babylon, how it's come back, and how it's very healthy. I call it the Roman road to deception. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. 1 John chapter 4. Verse 6 in our study, and then we'll just all kind of bring it together and expose, we think, some new information to you, the deception of evolution's last stand. You're going to be quite surprised to find out that evolution is, of course, a religion, but evolution's next step in its religion is that it will mate both the evolutionary claim to be scientific, which is it is not, with religion. The deception of evolution's last stand, Satan's alternative religion made complete. And for this reason, we'll study God will send them strong delusion so that they should believe the lie. None of this is going to be popular, I admit, but you're going to come away, I think, smarter, I think, in your Bible, and more prepared. If we truly this evening confess to believe in the Bible and to receive it as it is, being God's word, we must also then believe that what it says speaks to our times. Do we believe that this book is current? Well, we believe, I hope, in this church so much so that the passing of each day, we draw closer to the prophetic fulfillment of the very passages of this scripture and what it teaches. We find in the Bible that Timothy warns us that these are perilous days that we live in. Peter warns us that in the last days scoffers will come. Jude warns us that certain men will creep into the church unnoticed who will lead people astray. Paul tells us again that the times will come when men will not endure sound doctrine, but will go after aberrant doctrine. The apostle warned the church at Galatia that if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel than that which has been delivered unto you, let them be damned. Galatians 1 verses 8 and 9 says, And Jesus Christ himself warned us, and he said to them, take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. Matthew 24, verse 11 says, then many false prophets will arise and deceive many. And so tonight we look at part one of our study together, and it's a serious consideration. Lying spirits and doctrines of demons. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. 1 John 4, 1 says, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. I would like you to write down in your margins that this warning went out 2,000 years ago. 2,000 years ago, he warned us about this. So we need to take notice of it. So, in our first study, living in the days of deception, we're looking right now regarding the Christian and his security. I want to start this off on a positive note, okay? I got so depressed putting this together, I had to just change it and put it on the positive side. Let's look at the Christian security in Christ. Take your highlighter or take your pen and notice with me, 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 begins with what word? Yeah, beloved. Circle it, will you? Beloved, beloved of God. It is my personal belief, you can mark that down or get the tape later and bicker about it all you want. I'm not going to worry about it. It's my personal belief regarding salvation and the nature of God that God himself saves us. Yeah, that's simple. I believe that those who he saves, they're saved to the uttermost. So much so that no man can pluck them out of God's hand. My big question to humanity and to you is, are you saved? That's something that you ought to talk about. In fact, the Bible says that we ought to search and judge ourselves whether we are in the faith or not. But let me tell you something. If you are in the faith, if you are a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, the fact of the matter is, you have security in Christ. And he starts out right here, John is almost begging that regarding the things that he's about to get into, he says, beloved. And the word is a very powerful word in the Greek language. It means, and it's rooted, by the way, in the word agape, God's love. It means very dearly loved one. The one designated for affection. The one of special favor. Grab your Bible, if you would. Keep your finger here and turn to Romans chapter 8, verse 39. Romans 8, 39. Romans chapter 8, verse 39. Actually, let's read verse 38 before we read 39. Romans chapter 8, 38. I believe in this beloved here, and I believe that it's a powerful word. And I think we need to hang on to it as we get into this study. Paul says, for I am persuaded. That's strong language. I have been convinced, I've been persuaded, I've lost my battles to God. And I've come out knowing that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Do you believe that verse? You ought to circle that in your Bible. Then you ought to initial it. Put your name right next to that and put beloved. You are the beloved of God. You have been persuaded. You have security in Christ. In John chapter 10, verse 27, in John 10, 27, John says, my sheep hear my voice and I know them. Doesn't say he forgets them. Doesn't say he loses them. He says, I know them and they follow me. John 10, 28 goes on to say, and I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. That's a great statement. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. I challenge you. You try to get into that setup with a crowbar, buddy. You know, you look at a hamburger advertisement, and they've got all the lettuce bulging out. They got the tomato bulging out. They've got the onions, and if it's my kind of a hamburger, mushrooms bulging out. avocado. And it's got two buns countering or bookending all of that stuff in the middle. That's how I see me. In fact, in my Bible, I have a little cartoon drawn. I'm like this. And there's the hand of God on the top of me and the hand of God underneath me. I'm in one part Jesus' hand, the other part the Father's hand, and there's nobody going to get me out of there. Nobody. And I know this to be true because God has said so. The Christian can have security and rest. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4 says, knowing, brethren, knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God, for our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance. That's 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. Wow. What comfort we have in Jesus, and it is true. So the first thing that we see tonight regarding our security in Christ is that it is because we have a divine birthright. When we say the word beloved, it means that we are the object of His affection. We belong to Him. He's focused on us. I've got these binoculars, and I look out in the backyard, and I'm watching these birds in my backyard, and I focus on the birds of my liking. You know, when crows come into the backyard, I don't even look at them. I don't really care about the crows. I mean, I'm sure God loves them. That's fine. But there's yellow birds back there. There's blue birds back there. There's red birds. There's peach. All kinds of colors. And I'm looking at all these birds, and I zoom in to them based upon my affection or my interest in them. Those of you who are born again by the Spirit of God, by the way, those of you who are not and you want to be, He's been zooming in on you all your life. The fact of the matter is that He is intimately involved in what's going on in your life. And he looks and He's watching you and how you live and what's going on. And He's not there to criticize or to tear down. He's there to instruct and to build up and to remove the garbage from our lives and put in our lives that which is right. He is focused on us. And if you want to think of it as a bird watcher looking through binoculars, then let it be that way. God is looking at you and watching you because He can't take His eyes off you. He loves you so much. You are beloved of God, so much so that we have a divine birthright. We have been born again by the Spirit of God. 1 John 3:9 says, whoever has been born of God does not sin or practice sin. Make it a lifestyle. For his seed, the word in Greek is sperma, for his seed remains in him. That is, the Holy Spirit is in us. And we cannot sin. We cannot live on in sin because He or we have been born of God. Galatians 5:1 says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has set us free. And do not any longer be entangled in the yoke of bondage. Beloved of God, we've been set free from the tyranny of men. The tyranny, by the way, listen, of religion. Listen, religion is this. Any system that attempts to bring you under its control is carnal and not of God. I'll say it again. Any system that attempts to bring you under its control is carnal and not of God. Do you have to be baptized in a certain church that you're attending? I can argue from the Bible that that church and what they believe in, anyway, is not of God.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio. In a lesson taken from the first six verses of 1 John chapter 4, it's a multi-part series called Living in the Days of Deception. Now, Living in the Days, D-A-Z-E, of Deception, is a series within a series. It's part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse look at this New Testament letter written by the Apostle John. We'll continue with more on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Right now, though, it's time for another segment of Ask Pastor Jack. Remember, if you've got a question for Pastor Jack, why don't you send it in? Send it to askpastorjack@realradioactive.org. That's askpastorjack@realradioactive.org. Pastor Jack, this one comes from Joe, and the subject of his letter is My Church and Israel. Pastor Jack says, Joe, I'm interested in your thoughts about the response I received from my church leadership concerning my question about our church's position on Israel and the Jewish people. Joe's church leadership says there are many debates on the future of Israel, and we've chosen not to make that an issue for our fellowship. Joe wants to know how you'd respond to that, Pastor Jack.
I wish
you folks could see Pastor Jack's face right now.
I'm a Gentile, personally. I'm Portuguese, but my God is Jewish. How's that?
Okay.
Jesus came as a Jew. The promises, the Bible tells us all the promises that God has given is both to the Jew and to the Gentile, all those who believe in Jesus Christ. The first Jew that was introduced to the concept of being born again was Nicodemus. He's Jewish.
Yeah.
Israel. From Genesis to Revelation, Israel appears. Israel appears in the Bible more than any other nation. Israel is God's covenant people. God says, I've made a covenant with Israel forever. It's the same word that he says, I've made a covenant with my church forever. If God does not keep his promise to Israel, and to redeem Israel and to establish Israel and to do what he's promised about Israel, then I literally have no hope.
Right.
If he doesn't keep his promises to Israel, the church has no hope.
Right.
That is very, very clear in the Bible. Technically, my friend, this debate, which should not be a debate, it actually comes from denominations that men have created. It does not come from the Word of God. There are those who are amillennialist. There are those who hold to postmillennial views.
Right.
And then there's premillennial. All of us in the hearing of my voice, if you know it or not, you fall into one of those three categories. When somebody says, we don't get involved or we don't come to a conclusion on Israel, you are not premillennial in your eschatology or biblical understanding. You are either amillennial or postmillennial in your views, meaning you spiritualize scripture and you land somewhere that fits your denominational father's views.
Right.
What I would do is get away from man's views and stick strictly to the Bible. If you fell out of an airplane and landed on a deserted island like Tom Hanks did in that movie, and you had a Bible and you read that Bible, you would never come to the conclusion that we're going to be neutral on Israel.
Yeah.
Jesus comes back to Jerusalem in the second coming. Jesus establishes his throne upon the throne of David. Jesus will rule over the promised land given to the children of Israel, and it is very clear the region that is laid out in Scripture. Jesus comes back to Israel. He comes back to Jerusalem. He comes back to the Jewish people, all because God keeps his promises. Personally, I am mandated by God's word to pray for, to bless, and to reach out to not only the Jewish people, but to the land of Israel.
Now, I have to admit, Pastor Steve and I kind of winked at each other when we saw Joe send this question in, because this really is your long suit. I mean, this is your wheelhouse. I mean, somebody throws a question like this at you, and it's going out of the park.
It's so much for me, because I have a biblical worldview, that this issue, for those that attend this church here in Southern California, for example, we're coming up in an election season. And I'm going to start saying it again.
Yeah.
What is it? What is it you're going to say?
Right.
I'm going to say, judge every candidate against three criteria. And you can always know, by the way, politicians, if you look at their voting record, they never lie. Right?
Fair enough.
Don't listen to what they say.
Right.
Go look at their voting records.
Right.
Their voting record never lies. Well, how do I hold them accountable regarding my biblical worldview? Very simple. Number one, what is their view on the sanctity of life? Because God says, I'm for life.
Okay.
Defend the innocent. Speak
right.
up for those who cannot speak for themselves. Number two, God says, I created Adam and Eve, husband and wife, male, female. God says, this is marriage. This is how you build a world, a culture, a village. Traditional marriage. The third thing and the final thing is, what is your politician's voting record on the nation of Israel? From those three topics, I can tell you exactly how a politician will vote in all other aspects. Defense, economy, whatever it is. Those three things.
Yeah.
So that is the voting standard. So personally, that's how important it is to me and to this church here, that we will judge issues based upon someone's view of marriage, sanctity of life, and the position of Israel. Why? Those are three passionate things that God does not wink at. He's very serious about those three issues. And they're foundational. It's exciting. It's very simple.
Thanks, Pastor Jack. Remember, if you'd like to ask Pastor Jack, email your question to askpastorjack@realradioactive.org. That's askpastorjack@realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, an and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.